that she had talked before that, it's so tasteless. No one could understand this in my material family. They went to her and said, no, Baba, we need you. You are now 85. 85, not 80. You will live another 85 years. You know, they used to encourage her. And she became totally nervous. She didn't want to live in the salt mine any longer. Her tastes, buds were killed already. So everyone said it. And then my parents, you know, they called me and said, can't you encourage grandmother? Because you're so positive always. So I always smile with myself. Can't you do it? And so I believe I was somewhere in England reaching it. So I got the phone through the complicated system, and then finally, I got to her on the phone and said, what's the matter with you, thank you. But no one understands me. I want to go. Why don't they let me go? And why are you phoning me? Do you also want to say that I have to stay? You are a spiritualist. Don't talk such nonsense that I will live 84, 5 years. Because we are very temperamental. I saw immediately what was going on. She had recognized, she had lived her life in a salt mine. There was no taste any longer. And I said, well, you have my blessings. If this is of worth to you, just take an auspicious time and leave on you. I don't know how to do it. Just think now very intensely of your blessing, your hallelujahs, and your armies to Christian, as much as possible in big doses. And then you will definitely forget. You know that there's no point of telling her Chen Hare Krishna if this is the same. I had tried this before when she was younger. She's very temperamental. In her own mind. So, yeah, you think now you are enjoying the end, but when I look at you, I think you are suffering. honestly, I'm not doing it for blessing you. I also am aware of Vaishnava Parat. Honestly, I have expressed this to you in our private discussions that morning in London when you asked me a question referring to the spiritual advancement. What is better, answered Akura Prabhu, the people-oriented or task-oriented? What is this task? Is it like a goal, of a practical goal of work which you want to achieve? It's a task, an outgabe. What? A result, yes, a result. Looksy. it depends, but generally, we see if we are making good relationships with devotees and helping devotees to become enthusiastic, then the results come automatically because the devotees are full of spiritual strengths. Now, sometimes in your spiritual life, you need to be a little bit result-oriented. That means you want to obtain the gift that you chant 16 rounds before 10 o'clock. But the result, you want to attain concentrated chanting, and you want to go out to distribute transcendental literature and vast qualities. You want to arrange many, many preaching programs. This is all there. Your duty. But you have to also still be in a relationship. Relationship with yourself. If we just want to get results, but we don't take care of our body and of our mind, we will have a breakdown. I know this for sure.
sure. One thing was a farmer. He was so rich, well, but the other food. Who had a, I heard it with a hen. He had a hen who was laying every day a golden egg. So the farmer's neighbors were envious and said, "Why are you a fool and wait every day for your golden egg? Just get the egg all at once and make a capital investment. You just kill the hen, huh, and take all the golden eggs out, the chicken, and take all the golden eggs at once." So he did it and he opened the poor chicken, and of course there was no golden egg, and furthermore no golden egg came. The farmer was doing this, following this philosophy, because the neighbors had told him, "Don't be a fool, get all the golden eggs at once and save all the costs, because a living chicken you have to feed with grains, that's costly. But if you have a dead chicken, no use. You take all the golden eggs at once, you don't have to continue feeding it. You have everything in one time." So this is, of course, very foolish, but it makes a very nice point. If you want to obtain goals in your Krishna conscious life, you have to every day feed your instruments. You have to give food to the body, you have to give food to the mind. Otherwise, you will become sick and uninspired. You have to do this every day. Imagine our Shukla Baba would say, "I need to drive today back to Germany, but I saw the class was so late. I really have no time to put benzene into my car." Would you applaud him? Oh, how serious he is! How he went so far. How he wants to go so quickly back to continue his sushman. No, you would think of done. He has to learn a lot of things in his life, at least to put benzene in. So you have to, even if you, when you work together with devotees, you have to take care of them, so that then the results will come. And if you work with yourself to become Krishna conscious, you also have to work together with what you have. The body, the mind, it has to be spiritualized and take care of. Now, I just want to look this side. See, this is so difficult. Whenever, please, my dear Maharaji, don't become. See, I have to really. It's better if the. Anyways, you get a new temple room right here. They're not so, such big pillars out here.
So, is there anything here?
No, this morning you are listening category. All you just hired. Anyways, Maharaj, so much philosophy. I know you mean well, but we had to be a pull up to here. We can't take anything more. I'm very sorry. So we will have to laugh. Actually, I want to. You can save your question for Zagreb. You're going to Zagreb, right? You're getting me. I want to end here because, yes, I also pull up to here. Let me just make one last announcement. Yesterday, Gadadhar couldn't finish. You didn't even start.
Yes.
He started, but you couldn't finish. With a practical point, I want to leave now. And just tell the Serbian devotees, because they'll be forgetting, this Sharanagati newsletter, I think you have heard, there are also members of the Sharanagati club. We have a Sharanagati club, and Dr. Peter and his daughter Anjana, is a member of the Sharanagati Club. But our Serbian devotees, I know you have no possibility. So you can get this very, very nice Sharanagati newsletter from Bhaktimyaka. She's the official translator and distributor of Sharanagati in the sweet Croatian language. But I've asked her to put also sometimes some Serbian words inside. you don't feel excluded. But Croatian and Serbian is really almost the same. But now they want to make their own language words. So he doesn't have to follow history and the mistakes of history. He can just meet at the Sharanagati point. So you can ask like Vieka or numbers, ongoing numbers, because many of you have asked, oh, it's not coming, we don't get any of this. Good. Once again, this was the end, so to say, of our Ljubljana festival. Some festival goers, the unermüdlichen, the never tired, will go to the lager and there will continue with the Sunday program and the initiation on Monday, Sunday and Monday. I want again to thank all of you very, very much. Really, you gave me such a nice birthday celebration. I was so much in, I don't know if you could see it. Then, of course, I'm always fighting, you know, when you say, Jaya Sachinan, and so on, so on, it's not good to hear this for spiritual advancement, people sing, Jaya Gola Singha, Jaya Gola Singha, 50 of you are singing this way. I always break down. We know it's not good. Some feeling comes in the heart. Anyways, but I was so happy to see all of you. You can't imagine how happy I am to see you. Some of my disciples think, yes, this is what you say in public, but then I'm in your room, you always chastise me. Correct. This is what it means to be a spiritual master. And why don't you change so that I don't have to chastise you? There are some devotees who I never chastise. Because they are nice. They sit with and they try their best. Good. Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Isi Gauri Jai ki jai! Go Prema
Can you please just write down this million dollars cost or
He couldn't write and read, but he was a multi-billionaire. Then he said on the other side, Prabhupada, he once visited in England a gentleman who had studied a lot in India in the best universities to become a medical doctor. But when Prabhupada looked in his kitchen, he couldn't even find pots and pans and kitchen utensils. This man was so poor, he couldn't even afford, you know, like the basic kitchen equipment which you need to cook.
Ali kada Prabhupada pogleda u njegove kuće, gdje se tamo nema gdje naći ni lonče, ni tazno, ni bilo kako kuhinsko posuđe, taj čovjek je bio toliko siromašan da se nije mogao dozvoliti ni kuhinsko posuđe.
So, Srila Prabhupada used these two examples to illustrate the fact that by trying to improve your material situation, you do not necessarily become the Lord and Master of happiness and distress.
Prabhupada je koristio jedan primjer da bi ukazao kako pokušavajući materijalistički naprimjer da promijenimo svoju situaciju, nećemo nužno postati gospodari i upravitelji sreće i nesreće.
When you are a multi-billionaire but you have hemorrhoids, your life is hellish.
Kada ste multi-billionaire ali imate hemoroide, onda je vaš život
or if you can't digest or something. So what is the fact? So a devotee knows happiness and distress have nothing to do with material facilities. You can't, in other words, influence your happiness and distress. Today I want to destroy an illusion. Because sometimes in our temple say, yeah, alright, but I have to situate myself properly, change my ashram and get married, then I will be happy. Krishna conscious, that is also not a solution. There are three rings in marriage. One is the engagement ring. Then the marriage ring. And then the suffering. I'm sorry, but this is you cannot become the Lord and Master of your happiness and distress. This is the first, it is a very important point how a devotee relates to material situation.
Never is it possible to put us for a stretching message.
You can do what you want. Like now, our happy son of a diplomat has a quote. Second quote. When the devotee experiences happiness, or let us say, let us speak of distress, we speak of positive things also, but you know, it was just that. The devotee understands it comes not due to others. That pain you come from, it comes because of bad activities which I did in the past.
Nesreće proizilazi zbog griješnih, loših djelatnosti koje sam radio u prošlosti.
Nothing happens by chance in this cosmos.
Ništa se ne zbiva slučajno.
Why do you have a cold? Suffer from the cold.
Zašto imate prehlade i plaćate zbog toga?
You infected it here. You did not maybe dress long enough, or you didn't have enough vitamins for the winter in your body. Then you went maybe in a village where there was a cold. Now there is a cold in the body. from Shushumik Shamaram, he understands that everything which happens to us that is due to the arrangement, due to our previous activities. He has a very important instruction. Idam Yibishvam Bhagavan Yivetaro Yato Jagatana Niroda Sambhavaha Tati Svayam Veda Bhavans Tatapite Radesha Matram Brahmata Vadashita. The Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is Himself this cosmos. Everything is a manifestation of Krishna. When a devotee goes through this material world, he knows that nothing is separated from Krishna. He understands Krishna everywhere. Controls everything. Once there was a sadhu, and he took rest in the nature. Then he was just asleep. A Muslim came and just violently shook him up.
He
pointed to the mosque. I'm so tired. You just put my feet in a direction where there is no Allah. There's no you decide, you put them. I don't care. Wherever you went, just like so boomerang. This is how a devotee understands the Lord. He is everywhere. And the devotee tries to learn from everything. If he is suffering, he doesn't get despondent. He thinks, I did something wrong. Now, by the Lord's arrangement, this material universe reacts. It shows me where I was mistaken. When the lesson is understood, usually the suffering stops. Many devotees have this experience. Even physical diseases just go away when the lesson is understood. What? Is it wrong? Don't forget this verse. Idam hi Vishvam. Vishvam means universe. Bhagavan hi Vetaro. The Lord Himself is the
and
still he is please read this verse if you are interested in good philosophy and spreading your brain. See a little. Canto 1, chapter 5, text 20.
see the term I picked? This is a word that most of you that is more wise than most of you. How is it in the last year? But I don't know if you have a problem with this thing.
So the Gopi has two understandings with suffering. It comes and goes, it's beyond my control. Medium. It's alright, we are speaking about this subject. Medium. I have done something, and if I let me now understand what went wrong.
Međutim, ja sam učinio nešto, sada ćemo pokušati razumjeti što se to bilo.
A last point I want to make is even in suffering, a devotee can become happy.
Zadnja point koju želim napomenuti je da čak i da bi svašta možda možeš postati sretan.
Because he understands. Now, I'm taking now a, how do you say, the bad karmic reactions of my previous activities are exhausted.
Jer on može razumjeti sada su loše karmičke reakcije na moje prošle djelatnosti su polako gube.
Yesterday I asked, no, this morning I asked Virachandra kako si? And he said better. And this was a very good answer. Because now the cold is out, the mucus is all over the place, I mean all over the nose, the
cup
is there, and it means now the disease comes out. It's good if the cupping is there, and the thing is coming out, because this is how a devotee views suffering. It's good that there is a little pain. Because now the disease goes out. Once and for all. Zovi Danya. This is a very good understanding. Now, all the time, I'm speaking now for maybe 15 minutes about how to deal, how to understand suffering. I'm seeing bad fortune in the crowd. You joined too early. You wrote some very good poetry. Bernard Brecht attacked what I had just said in a playwright, in a theater play called, I think it's Galilee.
Bernard Brecht had attacked the concept that I had just said in a fantastic comado, which
and you are all from communistic education, didn't you? Most of you. So I want to raise the point of which you have most probably heard in your childhood. Bernard Brecht is a famous communist writer. Who of you knows about Galilei? Who doesn't know? Who does not know? It doesn't matter. It's not everyone else knows. No. Galilei was a scientist who found out in the medieval time that the Earth is not the center of the universe. The Sun is the center.
Galilei je bio znanstvenik koji je u srednjem vijeku otkrio da nije zemlja centar univerzuma ni sunce.
So the church who preached that the earth is the center approached him and told him we will torture you.
A crkva koja je govorila da je zemlja Ashtanga, Ajna Krishna, he didn't come home.
He will kill you. You know, like, do horrible things to you. Just revoke your theory.
Then you are saved. This is
passion. And
he
did. I mean, who was born in Italy, you know, Dolce Vito, and sweet life, you know, wants to be just brutally
slaughtered?
Now imagine this. Oh, it's so bad, you know, in occasions like that. Oh, it's so subtle and so complicated. Can I just say this in English? Just because it's material and we want to go further to the point. It's really not interesting, but the point, we are concerned about the point. So Bertolt Brecht made a theater play where a monk approaches Galileos and says, Galileos, I think you should revoke your theory, and not because of the torture, but I give you another reason. I am remembering my parents, the way they worked, the way they got the oil from the oil mountains, the way they slaved. Now if they hear that the earth is just a piece of stone without any significance in a meaningless universe, in a universe, they will be desperate. If they understand that at least the earth is a center, has some meaning to their jiva. Then they are at least happy. They can tolerate misery. Don't take this illusion away from them. They will be down. They will be in a very bad condition. They will be unhappy. So this Galilei response. He says, this is foolish. Why is the earth suffering? Why does the church put the earth in the center? It does so because they want to put the church in the center of existence. Why do people have misery? It's because the church takes taxes from them, and the feudal masters take money from them. And the church just is there substituting, encouraging the wrongs in this world by closing the eyes of the people. To tell people, in other words, your suffering is God-willed. Everything is all right. You are in the center of the universe. God wills it like this, that you are able to work a little bit and pay the church. To make the people blind, that is the greatest crime. The church is making the people blind. The church is making the people blind, so therefore, science is important. Now I want to say, because we've got the point about the point,
it's not so really good to hear how the materialists are thinking. So in the same way, the future logic,
to tell people you suffer because you did it is making them blind.
Речь идет о том, что люди, которые not to change the state.
Because if you suffer because you did it, then you have no opportunity at all to change anything.
Yeah, that is just the reason for the reality. On that, never nade in the provision to the door from anything.
You just have to tolerate it.
You just don't want to say for
religion. This is a crime of religion. This is a crime of Sachinanda Swami. This is better. Do you understand? I'm sorry, I feel I didn't make it so clear, but yes? Interesting discussion. Think about it on your own. I would say you can work and work and work. This is like a proper answer, but you can't change the miseries of material existence. It just doesn't work. Krishna is very kind to his devotees. When he sees that a devotee seriously takes shelter, he takes all the karmic reactions away from him.
So
Krishna says this, sarvadama kari jaja manikam sharanam raja ahantam sarvabhavityo moksha yishyami manshutaha. He takes all the karmic reactions.
Krishna conscious, all of these are the karmic reactions of the Lord.
There are four types, let us say, to make it simple, two types of karmic reactions.
What's the deal of the types of that?
One is what is not yet manifested.
That
is what comes due to a previous activity.
And the other is even his manifested karma has changed. See, when I was in by my karma, I shouldn't be here any longer. I would have died when I was around 30. I'm 100% convinced of this. This was in my horoscope, in my Yijing. But I'm still somehow walking on. Krishna takes away karmic reactions, even if you have a weak body and so on. He somehow keeps you going. Also, manifested karma is changed by Krishna. And whatever suffering comes up in the life of a devotee, well, that's where Krishna gives just a little rest reaction, so to say, so that you can lose your attachment for material life.
To su mali ostaci karmičkih reakcija, tako da možemo izgubiti ukus za materijalni život.
Those who are more attached to material life will have more bad things happening to them.
Oni koji su više vezani za materijalni život će morati izdrpiti više loših stvari.
Those devotees who are not so attached, never have enough.
Oni koji nisu toliko vezani, oni su sretni.
Because they don't need to be taught to let go of.
Oni se ne trebaju podučavati da odvrate maju.
The teacher of suffering doesn't need to raise a stick.
Učitelj ispaštanja ne obavljuje da podine prištavu.
They take the hands away from maja on their own.
Vi bavite sami po sebi slone ruke od maja.
So, Krishna is very kind to this devotee.
Krishna je jako ljubav.
He has offered us the robe of devotional service, which hangs into, which is coming down to the well of our material life. Now we just have to catch that robe. Very firmly. You know, you can't say when the robe is down, oh, help me to catch the robe.
Ne možete samo kad vam neko pustite uže reći, pomozite mi da uhvatim uže.
That you have to do your, on your own.
To morate sami učiniti.
For this you have to use your independence.
Za to trebate iskoristiti svoj neobjeg.
To say yes to Krishna.
Reći da Krishna.
To say yes to Krishna's arrangement.
Reći da Krishna.
If you catch the rope of devotional service, he can lift you out of the well-like suffering of material existence.
Ako kažete da, Krishna Maharajanu, uhvatite to uže, on će vas onda izbaviti iz tog materijalnog postojanja koje je naliku na nas.
To je Krishna.
To je Krishna.
And you have to do your part.
Vi morate, znači vi morate također uraditi svoj dio
posla. Now I want to make one last point.
Sada želim još jednu zadnju pasu.
The greatest cause of suffering in the lives of devotees is politics.
I have made an investigation a year ago and have interviewed different devotees. What is the most distressing thing in your life? And I have found an overwhelming evidence. They say, well, we can't cooperate with devotees. There are politics amongst devotees. And just not nice feelings like enviousness, etc.
Većina Bhakta je rekla da su, da su uzroci najvišeg ispaštanja nemogućnost suradnje među Bhaktama, politika ili loši osjećaj među Bhaktama.
I don't know if you would agree to this.
I
remember when I was a young devotee, I thought the greatest misery is in my life is if there is no halal on the Sunday feast.
Understanding in all that purpose. Actually, all of material existence is only a dream. Thus, there is no question of past, present, or future. Persons who are addicted to karma kanda vichar, which means working for future happiness through fruitive activities, are also dreaming. Similarly, past happiness and present happiness are merely dreams. The actual reality is Krishna and service to Krishna, which can save us from the clutches of Maya. For the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Mamne Maye Prapatyante Mayangitam Tarantite. Those who surrender unto me can easily cross beyond my illusory energy. Namam Vishnu Paraya Krishna Krishna Bhutale Siyata Bhakti Vinayatam Swami Nityanamine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Prabhupadani Prasadine Yoga Vishesha Shunyavadi Aspachyati Shatani.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasavi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Adrishtam drishtamannam chet bhutam svap bhavat anyata bhutam bhavat pavishascha suptam sarva yamuraha. Translation: everything happening within time, which consists of past, present and future, is merely a dream. That is the secret understanding in all Vedic literature. The secret understanding of the Vedic literature is that material experiences of us are not are as important as a dream. The actual reality is Krishna in service to Krishna, which can save us from the clutches of Maya. For the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, those who surrender unto me can easily cross beyond the illusory energy. So, what are we to make out of this philosophical understanding? First of all, let us understand the reality of the dream in opposition to the reality of the five gross material elements. Whenever we fall asleep in the evening or in the morning, when we are having festivals at the 1 o'clock, we begin to dream. After some time, we wake up again, and there everything is just like it used to be before. When we wake up, we are again the struggling young brahmachari or brahmacharini or grihastha. We will have to go on to the shower to become acceptable in the society of Vaishnavas. And we begin our day's activities like, much like we did the day before. In other words, there is in a dream you take on a different, let me continue. Then the next night comes and you again have a dream which may be totally different from the dream of the night before. In the night before you might have found yourself in India reliving some of your experiences which you had on Parikram. But in the following night you might find yourself in a situation where you are in the red light district of Zagreb all of a sudden, or you are maybe walking through Budapest or Warsaw or Frankfurt, and maybe totally anxiety due to things. But then you wake up again, there you are, the same struggling brahmachari or brahmacharini who has to go under the shower to become acceptable in the society of devotees. In other words, there is the dream reality, always changes, not even from night to night, but sometimes in the same night you take on different dream experiences. The wakeful experiences are constant. They remain with you. And you come out of the dream, means you return to the wakeful situations. So this is a very, very important point. And I just have to make a little pause because I'm looking for a certain quotation of Srila Prabhupada. I hope it's here in this. This is the article where it appears, but maybe they have taken it out. Or, please turn to page 46, they say. Can you hear me doing something while I'm looking this? You can think a little bit. What was your last dream which you can really remember? And what was the dream before which you can remember? Thank you. So, anyone? All right, who's that? And he's still got to read. But you have to read, huh? Then maybe it's not so important what you have dreamt, because you can't remember. It would be very important. I remember one dream which I had 1 year ago. I was going to see the Prabhupada on the field. And I asked him, how was it? How is it for you? Isn't it sometimes difficult to follow all the orders of the spiritual master? Just ask him. And the son will ask his father. Prabhupada stopped because it's pain in the ground. He said, to follow the orders of the spiritual master is life force of the disciple. It's very strong on the point. And I woke up and tried to follow the orders of the spiritual master. So that changed. Yeah. So, this dreaming situation can be compared to material life can be really compared to the dreaming situation, because it's only for a short time that we will be a struggling brahmachari who has to wake up in the morning and go under the shower to become acceptable amongst the other devotees. It's only for a very short time. This is like a dream. It is not so important for in relationship to the constant reality, which is a spiritual reality. Someone might take a dream extremely serious whilst he is dreaming, but when he wakes up, the tarot and the great importance just vanishes away. Imagine a man runs through the jungle. He stumbles over the roots and the branches of the trees, whip his face. He screams, but the scream which is following behind him is louder than his. It's the tiger. Wow. He hears how a huge beast flies over the ground. Then he feels how the claws are ripping the flesh of his neck into pieces. Blood streams over his ears and mouth. He breaks down and recognizes that his pillow is wet from all the sweat. It was a dream. Prabhupada said, so our contact with matter is just like a dream. We are not fallen. Therefore, at any moment, we can revive our Krishna consciousness. We become liberated as soon as we understand, I have nothing to do with matter. I am simply Krishna's eternal servant. Sometimes, when a fearful dream becomes intolerable, we break the dream. Similarly, we can break the material connection at any moment as soon as we come to the point of Krishna consciousness. Oh, Krishna is my eternal master. I am his servant. Please repeat after me. Oh, Krishna is my eternal master. I am his servant. That's all. That is the way. But of course, someone who wants to enjoy the dream, he does everything to not break the dream. Oh, could the scene just go a little bit longer? I don't really like the conclusion of this particular dream to happen. The sweet embrace of Maya has not yet come. There's no real time to separate us. I'm sitting in the cinema and I hope they don't wake me up, because I really want to see this action film. Do you know this psychology? I know it very well. I have the most colorful dream life you can imagine. Some of them are really good. Action movies, you know, and so on. But there are more important things. So someone who wants to continue with the dream of material existence will find it hard to break the dream and wake up to Krishna consciousness. And the reason why this is so is what I personally feel a wrong understood answer to the question, what is reality, what is illusion? Or I will put it in a different context. It is a struggle which goes on in the life of a devotee between idealism and realism. Now I know that I have spoken earlier about this point, but I will today speak again about it in a slightly different way. When a devotee, I was thinking about this yesterday, when I saw all these young devotees brimming with enthusiasm. I asked them, so there's a chance now to, you can still leave the sacrificial fire, and, you know, but no one wanted to do it. They had an idea, full of ideas, I will make it, no problem. At least, if I have a problem, I have someone who helps me, and so on and so forth. And I think, like all of you, I felt genuinely moved in the heart to see the determination and the great subscription to very high ideals in this in the life of devotees, to initiation. Sometimes, however, it happens that devotees feel that there is a difficulty in their life to follow their initial inspiration. I will talk today to one devotee who has somehow become extremely slow in his understanding of Krishna consciousness and execution of it. So that is natural. At that such a time, a devotee might you know, think about the word realism. Idealism means to place ideals before a real situation, and realism is defined as to put the reality before the ideals. And that's more important. Movements go through this process, like, for instance, the Green Party in Germany, who was very idealistic to change society until they joined the parliament, and their whole revolutionary spirit was swallowed in the German big-time politics. People have this face, this transition. In the beginning, they want to change the world. Remember yourself. When you came, when you were a young person, you might have probably thought we will do everything better than our parents. We will make this world a good place of kindness and common understanding. And then later, these young people, they become confronted with what Robert Jung calls the whip of the job, you know, whip, you know. You know, that these are people have to, they feel they have to marry and get an apartment and work for it. And in the working place, they just can't live according to their ideals, but they have to follow the rules of business or just surrender to a boss who is a meat eater and so on and so forth. So then they say, now I'm a realist. When I was young, I ideals of puberty, not grown up. Most people try to justify their conformism. This is natural. I remember my mathematician teacher, Dr. Becker. Dr. Becker was seeing me when I was dancing at the Jungfernstieg in the street in Hamburg. And he looked at me, just shook his hand. He was a very good friend of the family, and he said, "You will be sorry when you turn 30. Yes, you know, a little elderly. That all young people travel on the road of life, and they start with ideal concepts at later end in life where they place their defeat before them and say, this is now realism. I know that many devotees also travel on, and while they are traveling on the road of life, they come to this very important point where they have to decide how to continue in their life. Do they also want to compromise, or do they want to continue? I personally feel that we should continue on the road of Krishna consciousness, strict Krishna consciousness, because we should understand what is realism, or better, we should understand what is real. There are all the things in Krishna consciousness which remain real no matter what happens. For instance, it's always a reality that the material world is a stinking place. I'm sorry, it's a miserable place. It's always a reality that you compromise with your devotional service and your devotional principles, you will be part of that material world. Krishna is always a reality, and his holy name, whoever invites us to associate with him through the process of chanting, that's a reality also. It always remains. Since thousands of years, an unchanging reality. Another reality is you. You are an eternal soul, not the body, and also not the mind, by the way. That is a reality, and it doesn't change. The association with devotees, when you share deep moments of Krishna consciousness, is also a reality. It always works. It's constant. Even in a new life, these things will be there. Even if by some days you might fall away from the process of Krishna consciousness and not make it in one life, there will still be the you, that is the eternal soul. There still will be Krishna. There still will be devotional service. It never changes. Everything about you has changed. Maybe if you are a man and you were so attached to your good wife, you are now a woman. And if you are a woman and you were so disgusted with your attached husband, you are now a husband because you always negatively think about him. That will all be changed. Your brahmachari who did not follow up his principles, you might maybe be now in China following religious principles and then getting a book about Krishna consciousness again by some good fortune, you know. So Krishna consciousness will not change. Or the realities, the spiritual realities will change. But everything material will change. Won't be with you. It's like a dream, therefore, because it's not constant. Remember the definition of dream reality and vapor reality. Krishna consciousness is vapor reality. Now, it sometimes happens that dreams are so intense that you, it often happens, that it just draws your attention. Imagine you would be the person running through the jungle, feeling the hot, smelly breath of the meat eater. You know, it smells like fishes, I have heard. And your adrenaline goes 180 kilometers an hour. Sure, you are most probably become extremely identified with the dream to disturb. In the Bhagavata, here's a verse which can help us. Sometimes it can help us to understand disturbances in our lives. That when we feel disturbed or something disturbing happens, we should know for sure that this is due to our past activities. We should always see what did we do so that this happened, that we had to be in this situation and experience this. And the devotee, he understands when he's disturbed, he will become again. This is the reality. I was a person who did things which were not good in my life. Therefore I suffer. But I will not stop to worship Krishna with my mind, my words, and my thoughts. I just simply don't stop to be on the platform of reality. This very, very deep point was expressed in a discussion between a dying man and the future king of the world. Let me describe what happened. After the battle of Kurukshetra, Yudhishthira, the would-be emperor, was totally disturbed in his mind. You don't know what the battle of Kurukshetra was, because you simply don't find something in modern history which is comparable to this. It is said that the ground was muddy, that he would walk with the blood of the soldiers. There was a river of blood with cut arms and ears and, you know, all these private details of the human body. And they were floating down. You know that in modern warfare, I heard in a lecture in this group in London, the biggest problem is how to keep the soldiers fighting on the battlefield, because the stress and intensity is just so extremely horrible that they lose their nerves. Killing experiences make one crazy. Therefore, this next cover is slaughterers of animals. They have a problem, you know. They wake up with a knife and cut the throat of their wife. It happens often. You can meet in the good side of that. Many times these, because it makes you crazy, this intense vibration of killing. I know that the Chetniks, in order to kill, they take a plant drug which they rub in between the toes so that this thing, this nervousness goes down. There are millions and billions of dollars now invested by the American state in developing a drug which soldiers can take so that they just can survive the immense terror of the battlefield. I hope my audience understands that I am deadly against war. I really would. book this. I'm just describing now from a neutral position the psychology on the ball field. That's all. I don't condone it. It is totally... I don't think I have to explain this. So, I'm just saying it for the those who hear the tapes and want to so. My dear devotees and friends, in 100 years, this is what we experienced in 1996. This is what the modern people are thinking of, to develop drugs that they can kill. Let's see. And this is how we, your beginners, we spread Krishna consciousness. I hope you will never experience it, Hare Krishna. now Yudhishthira, he did not want to sit on a throne which was a result of such of war, killing of human beings. He said, I cannot sit on a throne which is dripping with blood. So he was advised to go to Vyasadeva, the mother in the mountains. Vyasadeva would preach to him. He did so, but Yudhishthira said, I'm sorry, I respect you very much, but I just can't do it. So then he came back and said, this war was just fought in order to instill a righteous king to rule the world. Was it all for nothing? Yudhishthira said, you may say this, but I cannot become the king. Please understand, it's not possible for me. So they said, go to Krishna. Then Krishna did counseling. Said, I respect you very much, but I just can't do it. And Krishna said, go to Bhishma. We do not have to go to Bhishma. He is also one of the persons. Why I can't do it? He's my grandfather. Now his whole body is pierced by a million arrows. And he is lying on the bed of arrows above the ground. I cannot see it. It was for me that I become the next king, that all the slaughter was done, even grandfather Bhishma, is just before leaving the body. Go to grandfather Bhishma, Krishna, he will give you very important instructions. So Yudhishthira went with his five brothers. Krishna also came along. And there was grandfather Bhishma lying, wounded. He could not move. And he looked at the Pandavas and he cried tears. And he said, I cannot understand why this calamity had to fall over all of you. After all, the Supreme Lord Achyuta, the Lord, is your friend. And in the presence of him, you were suffering so much. And the Pandavas was not just the battle. What happened before was even comparable. It was as worse. They were sent in exile, their wife was attempted to be just shamed before an assembly of many rascal Kshatriya warriors. They had to suffer so much, and Bhishma just cried and said, I can't understand, Krishna was with you. Yudhishthira must have also cried. It is called first understand and make yourself understood. Then Bhishma said, I understand this fully. It is miserable. But then he said, the only explanation for this, which can be given, is that this is the inconceivable plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a plan of the Lord. That's the only explanation which can be given. Otherwise, it does not make any sense. Then he gave a very nice instruction, which I feel should... It's one, at least one of my mottos in my own attempts in my own Krishna conscious life. He said, he gave the understanding how to overcome the miseries which one feels when misery strikes. He said, for one who strictly following spiritual principles, who worships the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is never a cause for despondency. Despondency means just to be, to lament, to cry, to be these reasons, he says, follow spiritual principles in your life. That is, things which are always true. Principles, spiritual principles, you have to follow them because they are always true. If you don't follow them and break them, you will break yourself against these principles because they are just a reality. I cannot say, just for a change, I would like to walk through the wall today. My metta is not suitable to walk through the metta of the wall. I can try it and bang my head against the wall. Principles are just like this. They are rules. You have to be humble, for instance, to go to life. That's a principle. If you are proud, you will suffer. You have to serve Krishna with your body and your mind. If you try to take from the nature and exploit the world for sense enjoyment or your own enjoyment, you will break. It just doesn't work. It's not like this. So, you have to be truthful in your life and do not lie. I remember in our own, when we were just, our movement was very, very young. In Germany, there was a time when we distribute books with dishonest means. And because it's a principle, you cannot be, it was long ago, 20 years ago, and it was corrected immediately. But it's a principle, you cannot spread the spiritual movement with material techniques. And therefore, the German Yatra had to pay 700,000 marks to the German government as penalty. These principles are simply facts. You have to live by them or you just run against them. So this coming back to our initial point, spiritual life, we should not become a victim to this wrong understood form of realism. Let us be realistic. We cannot follow the four rules and regulations. This is 50% of the Grihastha ashram is talking. I know my Grihastha disciples are not yet following this. This is by Krishna's mercy, because I know them so well. They just know what pain it would cause. To me. So, but this becomes a new philosophy sometimes. Or, we can't chant our rounds before 10 o'clock. This is the new world. Or we can't read Shravanam and Kirtanam. You go, This will not be good. See, in the road of your spiritual life, there comes a fog. Do you know what is a fog? It is, it goes in two ways.
Makla.
Makla? No.
What is it?
Yes, I know what the fog is, but what is the Serbian word or Croatian word? Yes, Raskvice. The Raskvice. Oh, this is too difficult to say. But please say it loud there.
Raskvice.
Yes. So, this will come when you're on the jivas, your spiritual life. It will come to everyone. Now don't follow the wrong path and become a so-called realist who is really totally an illusion because he does not know the principles of spiritual life. And the rational or whatever it is, the fork in the road comes, as it is big garbage of the Deutsch, then take the proper path, which is where you follow the spiritual principles of your life and your spiritual understanding. But this is, has been expressed. For one who is strictly following spiritual principles, who worships the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and who worships the Lord, there is no cause of despondency. So, with this, I would like to end my little class this morning. Thank you once again for coming to this wonderful festival. And please take this, take courage. You can become Krishna conscious in this lifetime. You only must be determined to break the dream. That's all. Break the dream. That's a very good motto, no? Break the dream. Do you have any questions? Sometimes when a fearful dream becomes intolerable, we break the dream. So does this mean for us that only when we have this experience that my life is intolerable that I can break the dream? What if I have a good life? Now, having a good life is an illusion. There is no good life. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I want to say something to you. He makes an interesting comparison. Imagine a man, Bhaktivedanta, who goes into a salt mine. Salt mine, what is this? The word, please.
Rudnik
Sol. Rudnik Sol. Yes. A salt mine. So there he sees different forms. And if he were to taste the salt, he might even have different varieties of taste. Sometimes it's more like rock salt, then it's very intense on this side, and very intense not so intense there. Now if he imagine the following, then he says, but this is the reality, I will eat the salt for the rest of my life. I will have all this different variety of salt there. In the beginning, if you have no salt in the body, this seems to be a good philosophy. But after some time, you will suffer miserably. And just the mere fact that you distinguish between this type of salt and the other type of salt is really very, very low class. And there is a world outside of the salt mine with fruits and vegetables and sweets and a morning breakfast in the Rudhyana temple. You should not confine yourself to the salt mine. So a person in material existence really is someone, when you compare to someone who has fallen into the salt mine, and just the distinguish between this salt tastes like this and the other salt talks like that, tastes like this, is not really befitting an intelligent bhakta from split. What we should do is really, we should understand that there is a spiritual world full of a variety of tastes. The fact that we look for a variety means it must be somewhere. A material variety is really, it only remains and remains there. For some short time, even when you become older, the senses lose their strength to enjoy the salt mind and make this differentiation. They just become, you know, just like a person who eats all day, all night salt, after some time he loses the